Parshas Toldos contains another challenging parsha story from Chumash Bereishis. We know the story quite well, at least on a second grade level, and that is that Yitzchak is getting old and he's blind and he wants to give a bracha to Esav. And Rivka overhears Yitzchak's plan, and she decides that the bracha should go to Yaakov. She calls in Yaakov. She tells him that she wants him to go take an animal, and they'll shecht it and prepare it, and then he should go and impersonate his brother Esav. And through that impersonation, he's going to receive the bracha that Yitzchak wants to give. Yaakov evidently is not very happy about this plan. And he says to his mother, "Hey, Esav achi ish sa'ir v'anochi ish chalak. My brother is a very hairy person, and my skin is very smooth. Ulay musheni avi v'yisik ve'inav kim sateya ve'vesi olay klala v'lo bracha." He says, "Maybe my father will feel my arms, and he'll realize that I am not Esav. And he'll consider the fact that I was mocking him. And instead of giving me a bracha, he'll give me a klala." And he's trying to hint to his mother that this is a bad idea. But she doesn't buy it. Vatomer lo imo alai kilalascha b'ni. Literally, your klala will be on me. Achshma b'koli v'lech kachli. Listen to me. And go and do as I say. And Yaakov listens to his mother, and we know more or less the rest of the story. Now, what did Rivka mean when she said, "Alai kilalascha b'ni"? What did she mean by that? The Chizkuni has one parish. She said, "You're not better enough to worry about your father, but if you don't listen to me, then I'm going to curse you." She was talking really tough. But the Rashbam says no. What she meant was as follows. Don't worry about it. Ki haisa botachas b'meshamer la'kadosh baruch hu v'rav yavod sa'ir. She's telling Yitzchak, Yaakov, don't worry about the fact that you might possibly get a klala. It's not going to happen. Because way back when she was pregnant with twins, at the beginning of the parsha, v'teilech lidrosh et Hashem, and she was told that she is carrying twins, v'rav yavod sa'ir, that the older one will serve the younger one, which means Esav is going to serve Yaakov. Don't worry, Yaakov, you're supposed to get the bracha, everything's going to be fine. And even more explicitly, the Targum Onkelos says that she tells him, "I was told b'nevuah that you won't get a bracha klala. Don't worry about it. Guaranteed it won't happen." Nevertheless, although Yaakov goes and listens to his mother, Chazal portray him as a very reluctant, an extremely reluctant person. Vayelach, vayikach, vayove li'imo, the Medrash says, onus v'kofuf ubocha. As if he was forced, he's bent over, and he's crying. He doesn't want to do this. Why doesn't he want to do it? I think the answer is obvious. Yaakov is an ish emes. And he's being asked to go and to fool his father. To pretend that he's somebody who he's not. And despite the fact that his mother is insisting, and there's a kibbutz, and his mother had a nevuah, and his mother is promising him, and his mother is threatening him, and he knows that this is the right thing to do. Because he has to do it, he's not happy about doing it. Because it's not who he is. He's Titan Emes Liyakov, and this isn't real Emes, even though he has to do it. And it seems that unfortunately, Yaakov's fears were well-founded. Because if we think about the consequences of his actions, look at what happens to Yaakov in the next decades, the next few decades. In the immediate future, Esav, when he figures out what happens, hates Yaakov. To the extent that what does he want to do? He wants to kill him. And what is Yaakov forced to do? Run away. Leave home. Leave home for decades. And never see his mother again. By the time Yaakov returns from his years away, his father is still alive, but his mother had passed away. And he gets to Aram Naharaim, and he gets to Haran. And what happens to Yaakov? He's fooled. He's fooled by Lavan, and he's fooled by Leah. And Chazal tell a very sharp retort, tell of a very sharp retort that Leah had. When Yaakov marries the woman who he thinks is Rachel, and he wakes up in the morning and it turns out that he's Leah, he turns to Leah and he said, "How could you do this to me? Last night, I'm saying Leah, Leah, I'm saying Rachel, Rachel. And you keep saying, it's me, it's me. That's not true." She turns to him and says, "And when your father said to you, Esav, Esav, and you said, it's me, that wasn't true either. So who are you to talk to me?" And later on, after he has his children, and he loves all his children, but he has a favorite. And it's Yosef. And he sends Yosef to check after the brothers. And the brothers sell Yosef. They can't tell the father that. So they send him back the ketonet, dipped in blood. And they say to him, "You recognize this?" And Yaakov says, "Oy vavoy, tarof, tarof Yosef. Yosef's dead. He's been eaten by wild animals." That wasn't the case. His children fooled him. They pretended that Yosef had died, but he hadn't. Yaakov fooled his father, and Yaakov's children fool him. Yaakov suffers a great deal from this pretending to be who he wasn't. Then others pretend what really isn't true. And I remember hearing once that if you go back to that statement of Rivka, "Alai kilalascha b'ni," she may have been telling him consciously that he shouldn't worry. But the Torah is hinting that, oh, does he have to worry? "Alai, Ayin, Lamid Yud, Esav, Lavan, Yosef, kilalascha b'ni." That's going to be your klala. That's going to be your punishment. You're going to suffer from Esav because of this. You're going to suffer from Lavan because of this. And you're going to suffer about Yosef because of this. That's not what Rivka meant. But that's what the reality is. Why? Why, if he's doing what at the end he's really supposed to do? If Rivka tells him this is the nevuah, this is the tzivut, this is what you have to do, so why in the end does he suffer? Why? And I think we can answer that question based on an observation that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz gives in a different context. To give you a mashal. A person walks by, and he sees a burning building. He sees that there's a child trapped in the building. And he runs into the building, and he saves the child. And he comes out of the building, and the child is saved, and he's alive. And he has second-degree burns on his body.
Did the person do the right thing? He's a hero. He did the right thing. So why is he punished? The answer is he's not punished. But if you stick your hand in fire, you get burnt. Even when you stick your hand in fire for the right reason, for the best of reasons, to save someone, as noble as the purpose is, if you stick your hand in fire, you're going to get burnt. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, when you're pogeya in somebody, when you violate the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, when you hurt someone, it can be for the noblest of causes, but you're playing with fire. And when you play with fire, you get burnt. No matter how commendable your reasons were. And at the end of the day, Yaakov fooled Yitzchak. He pretended that he was somebody who he wasn't. And even though when Yitzchak finds out that had really been Yaakov and it wasn't Esav, and he says, Gam Baruch Yeh, he deserves to get the bracha. But you still fooled your father. You're still playing with fire. When you play with fire, you get burnt. You see how careful we have to be with our Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. No matter how much we think we're doing the right thing, no matter how much we say this is what's necessary and it's important and it's commendable and it's noble and it's correct, if you hurt someone, if you act with him improperly, you're playing with fire. And people who play with fire, Rahman al-Itzlan, can get burnt.